Hello friends, it's Christmas Day. I hope you're having a splendid day thus far. We thought here at the Kings of Anglia we'd give you a little gift from us, and that's basically the highlights of this year. And if I was Stuart Watson, I'd now say the highlight show would only be a minute long, because that's the way Stuart likes to refer to the show. But anyway, the gang are all here. We've just exchanged presents. There is a live honey badger running free, running amok. Boys, so this is a highlight show. We're going to take you back right the way to the start of the year, early February. Things were not looking good for town. Some would say echoes of that now. But anyway, and Stu and Andy found themselves so bored during a game, they came up with a concept for a film. Boys, can you remember anything about this?
It's called The Running Man.
Yes. Can you even remember which game it was?
No. It was at Portman Road, though, wasn't it?
But I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Production is beginning in 2020 for a summer release 2021. Yeah. So the wheels are in motion. The Running Man.
The deal has been signed. Now then, Christmas Day, if your kids are driving you mental, the mother-in-law is in your ear, take yourself off, find a little quiet place and listen to some of these clips. So we start, first of all, with Stuart Watson and Andy Warren, The Running Man.
But Stu, I want to take you back to the first half of Ipswich Town v Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which wasn't very good.
No.
There were a couple of nice little moments involving Teddy Bishop, but other than that, it wasn't very good. But we have come up with our exit strategy from the world of football journalism. We are heading to Hollywood. We've come up with a film idea, haven't we? Which is a bit of an indication of where this game was going, because yeah. We've managed to develop a plot of the next Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, you can always tell the sort of a standard of a game is that when you and I let our minds wander and start to talk about other things, and that used to happen quite a lot when we were getting quite a lot of turgid footballing fare at Portman Road, and we come up with all sorts of nonsense. And yeah, that happened again in the first half. And I can't even remember how this started. I think I made some comment about how Freddie Sears was running around quite a lot at the time. Talk me through right. How the conversation then developed. Yeah.
I don't really know, but it developed far enough into the working title of a Hollywood blockbuster film called The Running Man, yeah. Which probably has been made before, but we'll do it better.
The concept is that a football player has to keep running during a game at a certain speed, we decided.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they stop, they drop dead. That's the concept.
Yeah. And so, to be very clear, this is in no way aimed at Freddie Sears in particular. But he would be very good at this film. Yeah, essentially, some kind of device has been rigged to them, which, if they stop running at anything kind of less than a
Thinking
trot...
Thinking about it, wasn't there a film where there was like a train or a car that had to keep going at a certain speed, otherwise it blew up
or
something?
Was it involving Liam... I think Liam Neeson needs to be involved in this film in some way.
Yeah.
But we came up with all...
So this is now the human concept, so that they have... Perhaps the coach has come up with this as a motivational method, and he's put some sort of chip in his player, or players, plural, that they have to maintain a certain intensity during the 90 minutes. And then we decided when the referee's whistle blows at the end of the game, there's a little noise and it's deactivated.
In my mind, though, the way that it would work is that the coach is actually the villain. This isn't good what he's doing.
Okay.
He's the villain. And only the player that's wired up knows that he's got it. And it's a very, very intense, obviously 90-minute thriller, just based around one man on a football pitch. Very, very intense. The football manager is Liam Neeson, let's be honest. His voice would suit this. You start in the tunnel. You're not going to watch the whole 90 minutes of a football match, but there's flashbacks in there about the player and how he's got into this mess. I don't know how he's got into this mess.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
We'll work on that one. But I think this has got legs. It's a shame that that do you remember Dream Team?
Yeah.
It's a shame that that's not still around, because if we couldn't get this through Hollywood, highly unlikely, we could have pitched it as a storyline for that.
Well, they from memory, there were some ridiculous ones in that, wasn't there? Where didn't one of the players commit suicide in the dressing room or something, or jumped off the top of the stadium at one point?
The stadium, you know, the stadium was the den at Millwall. They basically superimposed purple seats over it all.
Despite being Millwall. A Midlands-based, generic Midlands
Harchester United.
This has all got very dark, hasn't it? I've just realised.
But Dream, did you watch Dream Team?
Yeah.
I used to love it. Whoa.
And the she's in Coronation Street now. She was the,
she is.
She was the chairwoman, wasn't she? Yeah.
Linda Block.
It was very wooden.
Yeah, still is. But the star striker, Fletch, do you remember him?
I don't remember. He was the main man. Details about it.
He got killed because his manager pushed his head onto a peg in the dressing room. What a way to go.
Yeah.
The team bus blew up at the playoff final. Player got shot while lifting the FA Cup. Team bus dangled off the edge of a cliff in the Alps. It makes Ipswich's season, car crash of a season, look really quite tame, doesn't it?
So that's how good the first half was. We were working on that script quite a lot, and we had to keep reminding ourselves to actually concentrate on what was happening. So,
professionals
for those
to
who
the
weren't
end.
There, that's how good the first half was on Saturday.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that. We're going back now also to February. This was towards the end of the month of February. Kings of Anglia, number 52. The numbered shows are the pay-per-views. And it was a good one, because there were two highlights on this one. The first one was when Stewie and Hutchie, you'd just been cheating on the Kings of Anglia Army and me. You'd been at Blue Monday Live.
Really good event.
And Stewie, you gave away the gold at this event, because you revealed live to followers of a podcast which isn't your own, what Paul Lambert had said to you the first time you met. Do you remember it well?
I do, and it was me being potty-mouthed on this occasion, not
what,
you.
Well, it's Lambert, really.
Yeah. I channeled Lambert's potty-mouth, so play clip, maestro.
It's the little Lambert story about what he had to say about our feathered friends from up the road when Andy and I first met them. I think I can tell this story now, because the derby's been and gone, and what happened. So I don't think I'm breaking any confidences here. But when we first met Lambert, a few days into the job, he asked Andy and I off the record, you know, why are we in this situation? What's this apathy all about? And we sort of said, well, it's about the cup run. It's also about 10 years without a win against Norwich. And the first mention of the N-word, he scowled and said, we need to take those bleep down a peg or two.
What bleep? Starts with what?
We allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, man. Go for it.
We need to take... Really?
Yeah, why not?
We need to take those fuckers down a peg or two. That was the Paul Lambert quote, so...
Drop in F-bombs. That's for you, Martin.
The room enjoyed that little anecdote, I think.
Yeah, it was good.
I say, that was rude, wasn't it? Thanks for doing that on a different show, Stewie. Appreciate it. Also on the same show, there was drama. As we sat in the old studio in the Archant office, which was basically a room, and suddenly some people appeared outside looking at us impatiently and looking at their watches. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
We had the dilemma as to how long we could make them stand there for before they'd knock on the door. Eventually they plucked up the courage, and we were forced for the first time and only time in podcast history to relocate to a different area of the building. Do you remember where we went?
Yes, I very much do.
It was one of the highlights of the year for me, was being in this room with actually Roscoe. You weren't involved in, were you? You were yet to become producer Ross.
No.
But we relocated to an unusual room in the Archant headquarters. Play clip.
Okay, we are back. Let me set the scene for you before we get going. So we are now relocated to what we call the boot room. Other people here would call it the shower room, because that is literally where we are. Right behind me as we speak is a shower. Someone's clearly been in not too long ago because it smells fresh. Stu and Andy are perched on what would be the kind of the peg changing area.
Just going to prove that it's the shower.
Hutch is going to have a shower live.
That's going to backfire.
I think you might need to turn this on, mate.
No, that's the emergency cord. Don't pull that.
Does the shower
There's a few flannels hanging up here.
There's another thing that turns the shower on. I reckon it is.
Don't do it. That's the panic cord. Do you ever do that in a hotel where you pull what you think's the light switch and it's the panic cord?
Yeah,
no, it never comes.
It's that great episode of IT Crowd, isn't it? When Roy falls over in the toilet and accidentally pulls the disabled cord and has to pretend he's in a wheelchair the whole time. Anyway, I digress. We've relocated. Hopefully the audio in here is not too bad. As I say, we are actually literally in a shower room.
Stu,
stop taking your shirt off. There's no need. What is that?
There's a sprinkler.
I've no idea. Hopefully that doesn't go off while we're in here. And also, I'm sure people walking by will be wondering why there's three blokes chatting in the shower room. But they know we're all very, very good friends indeed, so it probably won't be that much of a surprise.
Okay, we're fast-forwarding now to... We've just relocated. Take yourself back. We've just relocated to the new studio, the Bunker, IO Radio. This is back in May 2019. Roscoe had just come on board as producer, Ross. Later claimed, within actually a couple of shows, that he's the greatest producer on planet Earth. Still trying to live up to that. But because we had new technology and we could do new stuff, we decided, me and you, Roscoe, that we'd give the boys a little treat. Hence, the intros were born. And you, it's fair to say you enjoyed the first time Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, was played. And also, I Need a Doctor, Dr. Dre.
That was May, was it?
That was May.
Okay.
It's a long time ago. Obviously, we've paid a huge amount of royalties for the songs, and we're getting the money's worth. Boys, can you remember the first time we did the intros and what you thought about them?
Can I be honest? No. Not
good.
Really.
Good.
No. That's all I've got for you.
Stewie?
Likewise. But
excellent. I'm glad it was such a highlight.
Doing them at the live show recently was quite surreal. I can't really remember a time when we weren't doing them, to be honest. Mm. They feel quite ingrained.
Roscoe, what do you remember about those heady days when you first joined the team?
Good.
And you've been giving us gold like that ever since.
Yep.
So take your mind back. May 2019, we're in the studio for, I think, the second only time. And this is what happened.
So my left hand, writing out of the blue corner, of course, the undisputed champion of transfer speculation, stories, facts and rumours, with an unbeaten fighting record of no wins, no losses, and no draws. It's the man we like to call Hutch Hogan!
All right.
What is this? Oh.
Someone's been prepared. I love it. Obviously, this is a darts thing, really.
Yeah, very much
in
the fight.
This is right, you know?
Yeah,
this is my jam.
Shadow darting, that doesn't really work.
It works.
And then the man across the table from me, who I'll be intensely looking at through this entire course of the podcast, hasn't got eyes quite as nice as Hutch, certainly not the eyelashes. He is the undisputed champion of asking himself questions in response to questions. He is losing the battle with male pattern baldness, but he's winning in life because it makes him sexy as hell. And it makes him hard too. He is Dr. Watson!
I need a doctor. Call me a doctor. I need a doctor.
Yeah. So this is our gift to you.
To bring me back to life.
And then obviously cue Dre and Eminem, but we couldn't afford them, so we just got the intro.
Okay, next up. I think this was around July. You boys went on a very special road trip, pre-season, and you did something very cool on this road trip. You took to the pitch with Champions League winner Paul Lambert and associated Ipswich Town staff, which you shared with us upon your return, and also stories of the road trip. Young Ross left a boy, returned a man. I mean, obviously, we're about to hear what it was like, but heady days, good times, I'd imagine.
Simpler times, happier times.
Times where results didn't didn't change relationships, and we could all be good friends. And that seems like a long time ago, but that was a lot of fun, that trip.
Play it.
Never been welcomed as nicely as that before. I've had incidents going back to Holland with Paul Jewell. His first summer, basically got frog marched away from the training pitch. They didn't want me looking at training. They wanted to limit my amount of time there as possible. Ireland with Mick, I'd get the some years I'd get a few interviews, some not, depending on the vibe. But this year, they were very keen to be as hospitable as possible, and we Andy and I came away with about 6 or 7 interviews in the bag. They invited us to stay for dinner afterwards, and we even got to play in the staff game, which was surreal.
Now, obviously, we've just been talking about this for about 10 minutes, but none of you will hear that, so let's go through it again. You two, three of you actually, were requested to play in the staff game post-training, kitted out in Ipswich Town kit. Obviously, you had your own boots. Someone forgot their boots.
Yeah.
Who could that have been?
Yeah, and that was me.
As a result, yeah. was furnished with Tristan Nydam's boots.
Yeah, he just said, "What size are you?" I was about to have Andre Dizel's boots, but he decided to run off somewhere. And Tristan asked, "What size are you?" I went, "Oh, I'm 8.5." And he went, "Oh, take mine." And he put them on for me and all that jazz.
He put them on for you.
He should have done.
Do you want to do your laces, Ross?
So you were then pitched against each other though, on opposite sides of the pitch.
Yep.
Ross and Hutchie, you were on one side. Stewie, you were on the other. With, by the sound of it, Hutchie, you were complaining there was inadequate or in unfair distribution.
Teams were unfair. We each had a goalkeeper on our team. We had Jimmy Walker, the goalkeeping coach. Stu's team had James Pullen, but our goalkeeper played up front.
Nice. Jimmy Walker's a character, isn't he, as well?
Yep, very nice man. Absolutely. Character. All goalkeepers are characters, and so is their coach.
So who won?
Our team won. I think it might have been 7-1. It was a pity penalty that was your consolation goal.
I think it might have been 7-1, yeah.
It might have been 8,
actually. Catch and count, but yeah. It was a half-an-hour game, about 2/3 size pitch, full-size goals, 7 or 8 aside, can't remember. But you had Mr. Lambert on your team, didn't you? Former Champions League winner.
Yep.
Didn't get himself that involved in the game.
No, he kind of played quarterback, left-back. Hanging about at the back. He's still got it. His touch and his range of passing. Apparently in training, he just zipping the balls about all the time, but I don't think he was that keen to be stretched in front of his players.
Did he get stuck in? Did he chuck in any reducers on anyone?
Him and Stuart Taylor had a little wrestle to the ground, a playful sort of moment between those two, but I don't, in general, no one was going in too hard. You know, it's not the done thing, is it?
Yeah. Stu and I had a little coming together, didn't we?
Did you?
A little niggle, and you could hear some of the players who were all watching in the background go, "Oh, a bit of needle, bit of needle."
This was the best thing about it, is that so the players had just finished their afternoon session, and then they went, right, a staff game now, and of course they all literally pulled up chairs to the sideline and sat in a long row all the way along the pitch, and were absolutely loving it. You know, chucking out a lot of
abuse. I bet you were getting dogs, yeah.
Yeah, Andy and I were obviously sort of firm targets, shouts of things about player ratings. Both Andy and I completely shanked shots over the bar. I think your one came a bit off the shin, didn't it, which led to some shouts.
I don't know, that was, the shin was trying to pluck a ball out of the sky.
How was it?
Didn't work.
We had Shinji Kajua.
Shin Fein!
Amazing.
Yeah, Chambers and Freddie Sears were kind of the playing the lead role in some of this. And
Colin Skews grabbed a camera, took some quite good pictures,
yeah,
I think.
He might have Ross out of a job.
Yeah, your mama. Probably, yeah.
Can he produce podcasts?
Probably, too.
can he press record? And you also had another distraction, watching on. Certain one-eyed monster from one of town's new signings, sitting there watching you.
Yeah.
We saw quite a lot of James Norwood on the first day that we met him.
Yeah.
Within sort of the first within the first hour we'd met him, Andy interviewed him immediately. He's a guy that
that puts himself out there in every sense of the word. So on social media, everything about the hair transplant, he's fallen off of his bike on Instagram by the Sunday night. But anyway, by the time we start to play this staff game, we've already seen him messing around with the cherry picker crane, which the analyst is in, taking the keys out, spinning that around. Off he trots to the hotel, back he comes, he's got... The chef is now playing in the staff game, scored twice, Adam, nice guy from our chats with him. But James has put on his apron, and that is it, nothing on underneath. So
when you sit on a chair when you're wearing an apron, things spread.
Mm.
So every time you turn to that side of the pitch, you saw little James.
Little James,
just
yes.
Sitting there.
That's James Norwood. That paints you a picture of honestly, we were there for a matter of hours at the training base, and he is front and centre of everything. You know, you would think he was the player that's been there for years. Like, yeah. He's got the lads in stitches. He's the loudest character there. And I think they needed another little personality. I sat down with Luke Chambers for a chat, and I said to him, James looks like he's settled quickly. And he said, honestly, it's great for me, because I think he feels the burden to be the leader, the voice, the front and centre of things, and it's quite a youngish camp. There's not huge personalities in that squad, so we'll probably get on to how he played in a minute, but in terms of his off-field qualities, I think he's certainly added a boost there.
And you mentioned Scusi grabbing the camera and taking pictures. Chambers fancied to go as well. He grabbed Roscoe's camera and took it upon himself to conduct a post-match interview with you two.
It's quite fortunate he picked up Ross's camera. He didn't know that was Ross's camera. It just happened to be the one that was picked up, which is quite good for us.
Yeah, he did instigate that. We didn't ask him to do it. I think he quite fancied the boot being on the other foot.
Yeah. If you've not seen it, go to the social media now, Kings of Anglia, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube.
It's
all
everywhere.
Over it. We are worldwide. Boys, were you standing in a hole in that interview, by the way? As Chambers, like, you know, 6'7".
You do know that I'm very short.
I know
don't
you're
you?
Very short, like, but I didn't think Chambers was that tall. You look like two kind of boys on your first day of school.
Yeah, there is an element of perspective there. I mean, he is tall, taller than us, but probably not.
You know what it reminded me of? You know when you back at when you start big school and you finally get that invite to play in the game with the kind of sixth formers. That's what it looked like post game with you two being interviewed by. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chambers. Yeah, it's lovely. And then after this tremendous performance, Roscoe obviously ran around a lot from what I'm hearing.
Yes,
lots of energy, showed energy, which is not something we see a lot of. You went and sat down for a meal with the boys. Well, I say with the boys, with the teachers, really.
Yeah, we were on the staff table.
Yeah, with Lambo.
Yep, Paul Lambert, Stuart Taylor, Matt Gill, Jimmy Walker, Jim Henry.
Even the chef itself.
Yeah. Yep, Adam. Chef Adam, and then us, still wearing our training kit.
Nice, and you're eating, you say there was a lovely red pepper soup. Oh. What was on main courses?
Very, very nice. There was a few options. There was a Malaysian beef curry, there was a fish lasagna, there was some chicken.
Yeah, some all the salads. Bread randomly, out of the mains.
Yeah.
It's not as... I think they've been putting the running in. Jim Henry was saying that since they've come back from the first day of training, they've done 100 kilometres on average per player running in the legs. So I think they're allowed to kind of, within reason, fill their boots in terms of eating.
So you just winked at me. Do you want to see that again?
Did I?
Yeah.
He does that a lot. He does that all the time.
Yeah.
That's not a wink.
It is.
It's a twitch.
Did you see it? He winks with his left
eye. I didn't
see
it then, but...
he does it, doesn't he?
The Watson wink. The Watson wink is a thing.
It makes me feel good, though. Like,
just after
being brought
he's finished
into
his sentence, he's like...
Yeah, like, that was a good sentence, have some of that. Yeah. I love it. And what was Lambo like as a dining companion? The people listening to this podcast, I'm imagining, won't really ever have a chance to sit down with Paul Lambert and eat dinner. So what was he like? I assume he's talking about the kind of big politics of the day, big ideas.
We didn't get into Brexit, did we?
No.
But,
no, not like with Jürgen the previous week, our Airbnb host.
That's true.
He asked about the newspaper, the state of the newspaper industry, how the transition into the online world is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, the usual sort of small talk that you have if you go, say you went out with your wife or your partner to one of her friend's weddings or something, and you get stuck on a table where you don't really know anyone.
That
and
sucks,
you make small talk. It was nice small talk about what we do and a few little things behind the scenes. He also wanted to know where we were going out that night, making sure that we were living up to our profession.
Heavy drinking.
We ended up going to the sports bar. It was about 2 miles up the road. So if you followed Grant Pringle, the club media man's excellent coverage over the week, he'd been churning out loads of videos, but there was no Wi-Fi at this place. Well, there was, but it was very patchy. So Grant was cycling 2 miles up the road to this random sports bar in the middle of nowhere.
The Leola Sports Bar in Herzlacher.
And it was like a proper nice sort of American style sports bar. Ooh. with a pool table and dirt cheap beers.
Mars bars, you know.
Ross ate 2 Mars bars under Twix in one sitting.
What?
It's hungry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Just you wait, my friend, until metabolism catches up with you.
So you could just take the bikes. Like, they had bikes that were just free to use at the hotel. So along with Grant, we just sort of took a couple of these bikes. There were electric options. We didn't take those.
Yeah.
And off we cycled to this sports bar and had a few beers. We played a bit of pool and had our laptops out and did a bit of work. It was good fun.
Was this Roscoe's birthday celebration? Because there was big talk last week about crossing the border and heading into Holland, Amsterdam.
Mm. That was cut short because of our car hire agreement.
Yeah.
Would not, and also we had been up since 4 a.m. and were knackered.
So it was Ross's birthday.
I was up for it, but Ross was wilting big time. And he
shame on you.
Everybody know as well.
You're the youngest here by 10 years.
Ross suffers from fatigue. When it gets him, he's very up and down, Ross, isn't he? When he's up, he's really up. But when fatigue bites,
do you know what it is? Because his diet is mostly sugar. So he crashes and burns once he gets
there. His biggest present was, you know, the meal with Lambert. Now I think that was the.
We mentioned so I said to Ross when we got back this night, I said, you know, you must be buzzing. You'll never have a birth. You never must have thought that you were going to have a 23rd birthday where, you know, you've grown up an Ipswich Town fan and you've got to play football with the manager and watched by all the players. He said, yeah, it's all right, but it would have been better if the players had been involved. I don't know if he was expecting a 10-minute cameo against Dusseldorf on Sunday.
He's slagging off their penalty. He could have taken a penalty, couldn't he? Or were you slagging off the penalties on this recording, or was that on the last?
That was on the last one.
On the last one.
Yeah.
Because I turned down getting the ball hit to my arse.
Have we said that on this one?
No, we should just explain that.
So he was Stuart Taylor, the assistant manager, quietly said to Andy, I and Ross, once he knew it was his birthday, well, there's a tradition here when it's someone's birthday, they stand on the goal line, face backwards, drop trowel, everyone takes a penno at your backside. Like we used to call it bare ass when we were kids, play heads and volleys, and that was the punishment for the loser. Ross Umdenard, he said, you don't have to do it. I won't make a big thing of it if you don't want to. Andy and I gave a bit of encouragement, but in the end, Ross bottled it.
Yeah, I regret it, to be fair.
You'll never have another chance for Cole Skuse to leather your ass with a ball.
But this is where I then say they would have probably missed, because they didn't do really well with the penalty shootout, did they? So
young Ross has spent two weekends away working in Germany. He's come back very bold indeed. Very bold. Very bold.
I think they'll agree with me too. So.
Wasn't so bold when ordering off of menus.
No.
When we were away. The panic set in when there wasn't an English menu option.
We went to a Greek, was it a Greek kind of steakhouse place in Meppen on the Saturday night. And Ross was very close to ordering off the children's menu because he could understand what was on there.
Yeah,
the children's menu options were like the Spider-Man, the SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's Ross's vibe.
Yeah. But to be fair, the one I picked was actually a good option because it was just all the meats.
Yeah, you made a good choice.
Yeah, step from the liver. I didn't like liver.
No one likes liver.
No, that's not
it's
nice.
Awful.
You didn't realise it was liver till you were halfway through it, did you?
Yes, this is liver.
It's just a really flat steak. Smooth steak.
I say again, liver is awful.
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
dear, oh dear. These are people I'm working with.
Next we come to, I would say, one of the most iconic things associated with the podcast. It's now officially a thing. It's on hooded tops and all sorts, and it's a hashtag and emojis. Back in, I think, again, this was around June, July time, a question came in from friend of the show, Jack Slader, who asked us to give animal likenesses to town players and staff. And it was when the hashtag Honey Badger was born. A great day. I mean, it's up there with all the greatest things that happened this year. England winning the Cricket World Cup, other stuff. Boys, do you remember? Were you present in the studio that day?
No,
you can't remember anything, can you?
I wasn't there. I know for a fact,
Stuart,
I wasn't there.
You must be able to remember this great moment.
If you'd have told me then that it would have led to Paul Lambert being asked about it by Ross on camera and hoodies being made, I would not have believed you. I think Andy and I took some convincing that it was a thing, but reluctantly, we now will say it's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's definitely a thing. And here's when the thing was first born. Jack Slider wants to know, I'm going to the zoo today. So on that theme, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? And also, what animal is Lambo? Now, Lambo would be something fighty. I'll tell you what Lambo would be. He'd be a honey badger.
A honey badger?
Have you ever seen the honey badger video?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch it.
So they get a bit
aggro. Honey badgers don't give a fuck. That's basically, that is the line for honey badgers. They'll literally attack anything.
Where do they live? Are they native to our...
They're not from these parts, no. They're sort of in hotter climes. But this video basically shows them attacking lions. And they are mean, bad-tempered little things. You don't want to rile a honey badger because, as I say, they don't give a... And I fancy Lambo's a bit like a honey badger.
Yeah.
He refuses to be intimidated by anything or anyone.
When he was at Carrow Road, did he engage full honey badger
mode?
Yeah,
I think he did.
When he was like being held back by a copper and stuff.
And also when there was a presser afterwards, wasn't there? And he said, tell him to give me a call. That was him going into honey badger mode. We take you back now. It's August. A ball has yet to be kicked in anger. Ipswich Town are about to start their first campaign in League One. We're about to do the season preview show. I decided there needed to be quite a lot of energy in the room. So, as is my wont, I put together what can only be described as a fairly over-the-top intro. Can you remember this, boys? Please say yes. Start of the season preview.
Did it involve music?
It involved a lot of music. It involved me going to Warp Factor 5 in terms of excitement. Hutchie, I believe you videoed it, a video which has never been... scene. It will now be one day released in the KOA archives.
I genuinely can't remember it. Oh. I really can't.
Have you been here all year?
I think so. In body, maybe. Not in mind.
It started with Rocky music and me listing various things which happened, which we'd all been through together.
Yes, I do remember now.
You remember that?
No, I'm looking forward to hearing this back.
Excellent. Excellent segue, Stewie. Why don't we play it while Hutchie tries to remember what's happened this year.
Paul Hurst, Chris Doig, cup defeat at Exeter, Hurst out, Lambert in, Accrington Stanley, who are they? Another Norwich defeat, relegation, embarrassment, anger, denial, acceptance, friends, we've been through it all together, and now the fight back begins. Welcome to the Kings of Anglia 2019-20 season preview special. My name is Mark Heath. Let's get ready to rumble!
One of the most popular games that's ever been played. In fact, I think this featured on the most listened to pod of this year. Stuart Watson, it was your idea. It was a draft day game. Do you remember this? This was a time when Town were sailing aboard HMS Pistol League. They were unbeaten. We were picking three first team squads that could tonk anyone else in the league. And to demonstrate how great they were, you came up with this game. Do you remember this?
I do remember this, yes.
So this is a draft day game. Basically, the principle was that you each picked players until you had teams. And then we put it out there. And it was, as I say, not only was it the most listened to pod of this year, it was also one of the most engaged bits of social media content we did. I can't remember in the end whose team won.
Andy's.
Just, though, wasn't it? I think, didn't I have Vincent Young in my team, which essentially moved the needle.
Yeah, I went for firepower, and I think my defence was what lost it for me, from memory. All I remember from this is this game needed some tension music played in the background. That was a takeaway for us, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoy listening back to it. Obviously, things are different now.
Context required.
Absolutely.
I want to play a game, and it's based around something that someone has mentioned on Mailbag. Dylan asked, what is our strongest team with everyone fit? Stuart Watson's got a little game he wants to play.
Has it got a name?
It's called the Ipswich Town Draft.
It's not got a jingle. That's disappointing.
Can we call it Draft Day?
Yes, Draft Day.
If you like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Draft Day.
32 players.
How many teams are we drafting?
Two, isn't it?
Two teams.
Yeah.
Andy and Stu decide.
We discussed this on the way home from Bolton. That we could... it's basically like school playground, you know, picking of the team where you just take it in turns. And we've got 32, we think, in the first team squad at the moment. So we'll take it in turns, Andy and I. Do you want to be involved? Can we get three teams out of that?
There's only 32 players.
Ross is doing maths. What are you doing?
Oh, I was trying to find something, but
okay.
It's on there.
Fair play. So the game is, these boys, these titans of Ipswich Town coverage, are going to choose two opposing teams on a draft system. One picks first, one picks second. You get the idea. Until we've got two sides of 11. Yes?
Yes.
Who's going to go first?
Let's do scissors.
Exactly.
How many are we doing? Is it one, so two,
one,
three?
Two, first three, one. And then on four.
Right, this is just a one-off. One, two, three.
Yes.
There you go. Stu picks first.
Scissors beats paper.
Stu, your first
every
pick
time
in the 2019
yep.
Draft Day Draft.
In many
is...
ways, I didn't want the first pick because I'm not...
I'll have it.
Can I just answer a bloody question?
Norwood.
You? There we go.
Ooh.
So he's got James Norwood, probably everyone's first pick, I'd imagine.
Nope.
Not your first pick.
No, I'm going to get my first pick, and I'm happy about this. Kane Vincent Young.
I knew he bloody would.
He's only got the right back, isn't he?
See, this is tactical now because you're thinking about what...
The thing is here, everybody's fit in this mythical
game. Oh, absolutely.
In this
mythical
game.
Fully fit.
Everybody's fully fit and at their best.
I'm just going to go, while you ponder your next pick, I'm just going to go over to my co-anchor, Roscoe. Who would you have picked first if you're in this game, which you're not?
He's gone first overall.
Analysis, please. Who would you pick first?
Probably Norwood as well.
Yeah,
for Coles.
I think everyone would have gone for Norwood.
See, I was really toying with Vincent Young because this is more about what you will get instead.
Yeah.
So you've got to be tactical a little bit here.
He's got to explain everything.
So why didn't you pick him?
Are you like this at home with your missus? Every time she asks you to do something, you're explaining great detail about your thought
process.
Show
my workings.
Yeah, exactly.
I've cut the onions this size.
Yeah.
No, you do cut your onions very small because that will get you a better flavour.
Excellent. So. Good insight there. Edutainment.
Anyway, next pick.
Your second pick.
First pick of the second
round. It's going to be?
Cole Skuse.
Stu has Norwood and Cole Skuse.
Taking Andy very Warren. Different approaches to this.
You're on the clock.
Luke Wolfenden.
Oh. Andy's building from the back. Defence wins championships, as they tell you in the American Sports League that Stu holds so dear. Third round, first pick, Stuart Watson.
I'll take Luke Chambers.
The skipper, Captain Fantastic.
Spine.
On team Stu.
Spinal tap. I will go on the right. I'm playing a 4-2-3-1, by the way.
Formation.
Now that Norwood's off the board, that's changed my formation approach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go a fit and firing Jack Lancaster.
Jack Lancaster. Interesting. I'd forgotten about him. Well, we're fourth round now, aren't we? You've both picked three players. Stuart Watson is mulling, like the doctor, mulling his words on the sheet.
Everyone's fully fit.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone.
I'll have... Freddie Sears.
Ooh.
Norwood and Sears. Interesting.
Toto and Ciala.
So, what are your defenders? You've got Toto, you've got Kane Vincent Young, and you've got Wolfenden.
Yep.
That's looking pretty tasty already at the back. Stewie, fifth pick.
John Nolan.
Not related to the Nolan sisters, interestingly.
Is that official news?
Official deaf info. Okay. Ross told me earlier. Fifth round?
Flynn Downs.
I like the way you're building, young man, if you don't mind me saying. Stewie,
thank
sixth
you.
Round?
Emir Hughes.
He's pulled the hoose out of the bag. Hutchie.
Good pick.
How's Hutchie going to counter?
Good pick. I'm going to pick Alan Judge.
Judge Dredd. He's on Team Warren. We're getting down to the...
I'll have...
I'm waiting for their goalkeeping pick.
Edwards.
Good point. Neither of them have got a keeper yet. Mm. They're leaving that late, aren't they?
Agree on Edwards. Luke Garbutt.
Garbutt in the house. Who's going to go for a keeper first? Are they going to leave them
till
last?
I think we're all going to leave, both going to leave goalkeepers till last. Mm.
And also, who's going to pick Drinan?
He's a lone player, so he doesn't count.
No,
you can have him in. You can make up
a team of Drinans.
You can make up a leftovers team if you want.
Stewie, I think we're on the eighth pick now, aren't we?
Okay, I'll take Will Keane, please.
Will Keane, three strikers. One from the top. You've got three strikers now.
We're using Sears as more of a winger.
We're going to end up with more than 11 here, aren't we?
Well, no, you just pick 11.
We stop at 11. In which case, I don't need Will Keane.
Well, you picked him. I can't. You can't draft someone and then throw him back.
I'll take him off you. You can have two picks in a row if you want.
Ooh. Draft day deal.
You'll take Will Keane off me.
You're confident, young man.
I'll have Kenlock.
You got one more then, under the rules of that deal.
So have I now got Keane?
You've got Keane. Well, that is what you said, yeah.
Yep.
And Stu's got another pick.
And I better take a right back, Danasian.
That's what you could have won. Hutchie?
I will have Teddy Bishop.
T-Bish, T-Bags, as I like to call him. And I'm sure he loves. That's never going to catch on. Stewie, the 10th, is it the 10th pick?
Yeah. I'll have Holy in goal.
The Holy goalie.
Yeah.
6 foot 9 inches in goal. Warren. Hutch Hogan. Pondering. Flipping his pen. Sucking his teeth. Looking sexy and plum. Rubbing his brow. Mm.
Got a conundrum here, because I've picked Garbutt, and I don't know... I picked him, really, to play left-back.
Oh, yeah? What's the conundrum?
I'll take Danny Rowe.
Danny Rowe.
I need Wilson for another centre-back.
James Wilson. So can you draw up your team while Hutchie makes his final pick?
I've got Holy in goal.
Will Norris.
Will Norris in goal.
Holy, Danasian, Chambers, Wilson, Kenlock. I've gone with my offensive picks, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Skews, Hughes, Nolan as my middle three. I've got Edwards and Sears on the wings with Norwood as the lone striker.
So you've front-loaded your squad, essentially.
It's a 4-2-3-1
as well. Keaton Jackson has gone undrafted.
That's
my goodness.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
This highlights everything that's really going with Ipswich at the moment. Because this 4-4-2 is not... It really isn't what they envisaged going into this season with. It was a pre-season way of getting players on the pitch that sparked. Mm. And you can't go away. They just kept on scoring goals.
Caden Jackson, that's incredible. The guy who scored 4 goals so far this season has gone undrafted in your pick of the best 22 players.
His issue is that when all these central midfielders, if all these central midfielders are fit again... Mm. You know, in the latter stages on Saturday, Nolan came on and replaced Jackson, and he went just off of Norwood, and that looked quite lively for a little spell. And bearing in mind he's not had a lot of football, once Nolan's getting up to speed, and Lambert really likes him, he keeps praising up Nolan. You know,
I think he should be in the team.
You're going to have to find a way to get 3 central midfielders in there. Skews and Downs are playing really well. Norwood's got to play, hasn't he? So,
what's your team?
I forgot somebody. My last pick was Danny Rowe. Yeah. Can I put Giorgio in instead?
Yeah, I think so. Because Stu drafted Keane and immediately threw him back in the sea. So
that would make my that would make my team Norris in goal, back 4 of Vincent Young, Nciala, Wolfenden, Garbutt, midfield 2 of Downs, Bishop, a 3 of Lancaster, Judge, Giorgio behind a fully fit and consistently fit and firing Will Keane.
Nice. I'd like to get pictures of those if I can. I might tweet them out and see what people think. Which team would win? Now, here you've obviously got the irresistible force against the immovable object. You've got Stewie's very offensive firepower pack bristling with offensive attacking threat against Hutchie's defence wins championships. You shall not pass at the back.
Yeah.
You're not convinced. I'm just trying to sell it, baby.
I love my team. I love my boys. Yeah. I'll back them, and it will turn
to the hilt.
But there are some members of Watson's team that
you covered.
I regret not taking.
Who wins? Earlier. Let's not fuck around. Who wins?
We'll put it out to the people.
Yeah, we'll put them together.
I fancy my boys. I have to say.
I think you've got more firepower in there, but I like my system. I think my team might play better football than yours.
Can you chuck your sheet over here so I can take a picture?
We'll do them better than this. We'll do it on those little graphic things.
Oh, nice! I like that. Yeah, looks official. Okay, that was fun. What it did highlight though, and which we haven't talked about yet, is how well stacked Town are. On this day, Monday, September the 2nd, transfer deadline day.
Mm.
We should, of course, mention the sexy stuff before we move on. We're not expecting much to happen today, though, are we, in terms of incomings, given, as already discussed, how well stacked Town are.
Well, also undrafted in there, as well as Jackson, was Rowe, Dezelle.
No, Rowe was in. Oh, no, chucked him back.
he was waived.
King. He was Will King.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Next up, we go from one brilliant game to the game to end all games. Kings of Anglia 84 was the start of an era. The start of an era in broadcasting as well. It was the first podcast on which our friend Roscoe put on his gold jacket and his gold bow tie. And it was the first time the strike appeared in British radio history. Now, a few years from now, we'll look back on this like the start of, similar to the start of a political era, or indeed, some may hark back to a great film being released. This was the first time that the strike was played. Boys, what do you remember of this historic day?
I just remember sitting there knowing that it was the start of a movement, the start of something. Things wouldn't be the same from this day on, and they haven't been. It's got people moving. It's mobilised the KOA army. It's taken over. It's arguably bigger than the podcast. It's the strike. It's got Barry Cotter on it now. There's no stopping it.
Stewie, you must have fond memories of this.
Who doesn't? I didn't know that it would affect me the way it has done at the time. And sometimes, you know, ordinary days start and then things happen that change the course of history forever. And this was certainly one of those days.
Roscoe, you are the presenter of the cultural juggernaut that is the strike. Did you know when you first started, read out those first immortal words, this is the strike?
Yes.
Did you know what a big deal it would go on to be?
I'm very humble to know how big it's got. And I want to give big credit to Andy for the name of the strike, because he did the intro,
royalties. The royalties from that name and the music is going to feed my family for the rest of my life. So I'm just so blessed, hashtag blessed to be able to work with such a man as presenter Ross, the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth.
So who am I? Oh no, guess who.
Here we go. It's time for another new section of the show, because the people want more Roscoe. That's the feedback. They like his voice. They think it's amusing. They like his complete apathy and disinterest in everything. And that is Ross, trust me. And so now we're going to build a part of the show around young Mr. Halls. It's called
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike, brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Hutchie, you're completely wasted doing what you do.
It's called The Strike.
The Strike.
Do you see what I've done there?
You do, yeah. You should charge big money for these jingles.
Well, I am now, because I've got that weighty 1.5 million in my bank. So,
good Lord, what a jingle. The Strike, brought to you by producer Ross.
That's
the first
incredible.
The first ever The Strike, maybe the last. We'll see how it goes.
Probably will be the last.
Ross, hit us with it.
So, contestants.
That's us.
Mark Keith, Andy Warren, Stuart Watson.
Yeah.
Let's bring this down a little bit.
It will run out at some point. It's not an endless jingle.
It's all right, let it fade.
Let it fade out. So we've got three sort of games here.
Three games?
Yeah. We're going to do a bit of Who Am I?
Who am I?
So you have three clues.
Yep.
First clue.
Yeah.
If you really know the person, let me know. And then you
can
get,
I buzz in?
You get the points. Yeah, you get a buzz.
Once you've buzzed in, are you out? If you get the wrong answer,
are you out?
You're out.
Okay. What are our buzzer noises, yeah. Mark?
I'll make it up.
I've got a good one.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go bing bong.
I don't know.
Stu's going to do it on the
whatever
night.
Comes.
He's going to do it on the okay. night.
Then also, we've got a town flashback. As you know, I love my.
You
on
do,
this day.
You love your nostalgia.
So we've got a bit of a multiple choice time. So we're going to have three different questions
yeah.
on what happened this week in okay. Ipswich town history, and the music's gone.
That's all right.
A shame.
Let it go. Let it go.
And then also, finally, as we're playing.
You know, there's only 10 minutes allotted for this feature.
I know. This is the first little intro, just to give you okay. a heads up on the rules. And as we're playing Doncaster this weekend, there'll be one little.
So how many quizzes are there in this one quiz?
Three.
Who am I? Multiple choice. Doncaster.
Yeah. Go for it. Who am I?
Who am I? So the first clue. I had a loan spell at Town during the 2014-15 season, making 6 appearances, scoring 1 goal.
I'm going early. Chris Wood.
You're out. Sit down, son.
Fine. Go hard or go home.
As a player, Doncaster this weekend, he also played for Town and Doncaster.
Oh, I think 14-15, the playoff yeah. season. Mm-hmm.
Are you is that a buzzing in?
Carry on.
Okay. Clue three. You're going to probably get this, so get ready. Get ready.
Bop. Go on, go.
His only Town goal was a dramatic late winner.
Oh, of course.
Is it Richard Chaplin?
Yes. Oh. Same hair as you. Yes.
Wait. Hey.
That was unnecessary.
Well, sick burn as well. I like it.
Richard Chaplin's got alopecia.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh.
Steve's got like...
Male pattern.
Steve's got actual hair on there.
Steve's got male pattern baldness.
Sorry, Richard. That was my favourite ever away day and I just...
I like that. That's yeah. good. We zoomed through that. Good. So next is multiple choice.
Yeah, Town flashback.
Play along at home.
Yes, indeed. So... Once again, shout out first, mm-hmm. if you know it. Who scored twice in Town's 2-1 win at Wimbledon in 1992? I got the three players.
Yeah.
Mickey Stockwell, Chris Cuomia.
Chris Cuomia.
Or Jason Dazelle.
Chris Cuomia.
Mickey Stockwell, and I think he scored a like a mazy dribble from
I think that's the other reverse.
Halfway line.
I think that's the reverse fixture, I think. Or could have been that
guy. I think he was wearing red. When he did it, the red away kit.
We would have been. This was at home, though. We'd have been our.
Oh right! Yeah. Oh, I thought. Well, it was still Mickey Stockwell, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, is it Mickey Stockwell? Do I get a point for that?
What's the scoring system?
So you're currently. No,
it's 1-1.
1-1.
1-1-0.
So can only one person win the multiple choice round?
Well, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a buzz in, mate.
Got a buzz in.
Yeah. I fear for your buzzer as well. It's a bit quiet if you're buzzing in at the same time as someone else.
Okay. Town beat Coventry City 2-1 at home in 2006. Which lone player was among the scorers that day? Mark Noble, Simon Walton, or John Macken?
Ow.
Is that loud enough for
yeah.
you?
I'm sorry any listeners out there who now have ruptured eardrums.
Or have swerved off the road.
Yeah.
what were the options, Ross? Oh, I just realised that you've just got buzz in first. It seems to just be a free-for-all. Is it Mark Noble?
It is.
Thank you.
Take that
point.
That is how buzzers work, mate.
Yeah, you've got buzz in.
He looks incredulous. Look
Multiple
at
Multiple choice never works with fastest finger first, does it?
That's exactly how they do it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, isn't it?
Stu, why are you so vexed,
what's
man?
The problem?
What's
up?
Carry on.
It's 2-1. It's 2-1-0.
Yeah. Final question on multiple choice.
Yeah.
Town won their first Tesco Cup tie 4-2 in 1972 against which Scottish team? Aberdeen?
Is it Aberdeen?
No.
Good, I'm glad you're out.
Sit down.
St Johnstone.
Bing bong, St Johnstone.
Yes.
Yeah, get in!
Who calls them St Johnstone?
That's right, isn't it?
So it's 2-1-1.
Yeah.
What's left?
Now, the last time we played Doncaster at home...
Is this the decider?
Basically.
Yeah.
So we could have a draw here.
We could have a draw.
Yes. Doncaster knowledge. Here we go.
So yeah, 5 years ago, we played Doncaster last at Portman Road,
mm-hmm.
which ended in a 2-1 win.
Mm.
The Blues goal scorer that day was Luke Chambers scoring a late winner, but who scored Town's opening goal?
Is this multiple choice?
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
So no shouting out.
Bing bong. Go.
Christoph Berra, Paul Anderson, or Daryl Murphy?
Bing bong. Daryl Murphy.
Yes, get in.
2-2-1. So the first ever the strike has ended in a draw.
Yeah.
So we now need...
Have you got a tiebreaker?
We need a tiebreaker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got. Have you got one?
You're in the. You can't give a tiebreaker question.
I'm not in the tie though, am I?
True. Yeah, you are.
No, he isn't.
I've only got one.
Okay. I only got one. Go for it. Sorry. Go.
What is the capacity? You need to get a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Of Doncaster's Keep Moat Stadium.
Should we do the closest? 1,000.
Do you want to write these down?
We'll just do the closest.
Yeah, write them down.
I haven't got a pen. Thanks, friend.
Oh, there you go.
For those listening and not watching, we're now writing things down.
Doncaster's
Keep Moat Stadium. Have you got any kind of
I like
facts?
The shape of the Keep Moat.
Keep Moat Stadium cost approximately £20 million to construct. And is also used by Doncaster Rugby League Club and the Doncaster Rovers Bells Ladies Football Club.
Lovely.
There's a good Morrison's just next door as well. That's my own little take on it. And they do a really nice half-time pie, homemade, in a nice little silver tray.
Now
Mark
then.
Keith, reveal your answer. Sorry for taking over, Ross.
No.
We did a podcast on stadium capacities in League One.
Oh, here we go. He's got prior knowledge.
I completely forgot.
No. Well, yeah, you're wrong. I can see through your bit of paper. 713,000.
13,250.
Okay, is that an arrow?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Mark's gone 13,250. Watson's gone 9,810. And the winner of the strike, episode one.
Presented by Andy Warren.
Yeah, hijacked by me.
Yeah.
Is. Mark Heath.
Get in! Come on! Quite right. I love this feature.
What was the.
Oh, yeah, the actual answer is 15,000. 331.
So officially, out of everyone in this room, I know the most about Ipswich Town. Tremendous.
And Doncaster.
And Doncaster, yeah.
So there you go.
Now then, zipping forward from that, Kings of Anglia 91 was a fun one in this studio because Mark's big question that day was three things we hate. And this spawned quite a conversation. I ended up with about five or six things that I hate. Good times, boys. Can you remember this conversation? Please say yes.
Yes.
Was it one of the highlights of your year?
Yes.
Excellent. Let's
play. It's good to get things off your chest.
Absolutely. Group therapy. And this will become a regular feature next year, the weekly vent slot. So this is what started it. Three things we hate. KOA 91. One is three things you hate, from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Lateness, I'll kick that off.
Yeah.
People who turn up consistently late.
Sorry.
I think it's a mark of
Ross,
what people think of you.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Do you want all three? Bananas.
For those of you thinking that's a flippant answer, Hutchie genuinely hates bananas.
Hates them.
And you list... as among the worst moments of your life, the time your wife threw a banana skin at you and it hit you in the face.
She placed it on my face.
That's right.
I think I was asleep. Just awful act of... Oh, just awful. They're awful.
Why? What's... You...
Oh, just...
We've discussed this before, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Is it the waxiness of the outer shell?
Yeah, it's the wax... Yeah, it's devious. The outer shell is all waxy and actually can be quite nice, the outer shell of that. You get inside and it's just like... an oozing pus of like, it just makes that noise at you. I've got brown oozing nonsense. Just
and also, what's the sort of the stuff you have to kind of peel off inside the actual the kind of stringy bits?
Mm. It's not for me.
I do like bananas. Right, so we're going round a circle now. See where it's going to work. So you said lateness, Hutch. You said bananas. I'm going to add cling film into the mix. Cling film is shit.
What don't you like about it? Is it?
Well, because you try and tear it off and invariably there's a massive hole ripped in it. It then wraps around itself. It's kind of wrapped all over your hands.
There's a technique. I only learned recently that, did you know in cling film, you push the little tabs in at the end of the box.
You don't
know
this.
And the tabs go into the inner part of the roll and that holds the roll in
that.
Place.
Mark Heath's face right now is incredible.
That's a life hack for you.
This is revelatory.
And then it just pulls out.
I might have to revise my whole opinion. If I can actually tear off cling film without it ripping a massive hole in the middle of it.
And then if your budget allows, you can get the ones with the little flappy cutter lids, can't you?
Oh, someone's doing all right for themselves.
No, I don't do that.
Right, so I've got cling film. Roscoe?
Snow.
You hate snow?
I don't like snow.
Why?
Just ruins people's day, do you know?
Does it? Depends what you've got to do.
It's too much snow.
If you haven't got to go out, it's lovely.
No, I just don't like snow.
Have you ever had a snow-related accident?
No.
Yellow snow, all that?
No.
You've never fallen over in the snow?
No.
I find that hard to believe for someone as accident-prone and generally ill of health as you.
It's cold as well, isn't it?
It is cold.
That's a good point.
That is cold.
Just don't like snow.
Okay, so we've got cling film, snow, lateness, bananas. Back to you, Stewie.
People exaggerating their lives on social media.
Oh.
Just in general. So, yeah, just, oh, look at me. I'm tagged here. Look at these pictures. No.
Who are you trying to impress? Generally, you have the attitude towards social media of a 75-year-old man.
Another one. Grumpy. Of social media. Couples who message each other publicly on Facebook or social media. You're in the same room. Talk to each other.
Are you talking about Mr. and Mrs. Waghorn?
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do that.
Okay. Well. Well, yeah, then. Not I'm talking Facebook. About them.
On Instagram.
They talk to each other on Instagram?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Can I pick a social media thing as well
yes.
that I hate? I hate when people post a picture of a roast dinner on social media.
Why?
Because they don't look... I know that your roast dinner tastes amazing. Yeah. I know that it does.
Just roasts are we talking about?
Yeah, yeah, very specific.
Not just any food.
No, very, very specific. Okay. I know that it's going to taste really nice, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look any better than anybody else's. It's all just the individual stuff put on a plate. It's no better than anyone else's, but I know it tastes good. You don't need to tell me.
Okay, fair enough. Can I just go back briefly to Stu's point about tagging people and stuff? This is not one of my three hates. I'm having a bonus on top of that.
I know what you're going to say.
People who tag themselves at hospital. What's that about?
Everything okay?
Usually with a feeling worried at Ipswich Hospital. There's nothing more attention-seeking than
that. Or just a generic,
that.
Like, oh, what a day. Some people just like, and just leaves it hanging
exactly,
there.
Exactly, exactly.
Hope everything's okay, hun.
You're okay,
yeah, I'm
hun.
Fine. I'm fine, just letting off some steam.
It's okay, thanks, babe. So that's my bonus one. The one number two on my list of three things that I hate is people who don't pick up after their dogs. This makes me unreasonably angry, and I'm generally quite an angry
man. I'd say that's
anyway.
Quite reasonable.
Yeah, because
it's awful.
As a dog owner myself, I think it gives us a bad name. It's also disgusting when you walk around a village or anywhere.
Or to the dentist.
Or to the dentist, as I found out the other week. And you step in it. And I don't know about you, but the sort of shoes that I wear tend to have sort of little tread in it and stuff. And it takes ages to get it out, doesn't it?
Do you get a stick?
And I get a hot kettle first of all.
Awakens the smell.
Yeah, hot kettle first of all, pour it on, and then try and like wipe it off with a stick. It makes me so angry. And also, it's just really bad. Really bad for you.
Yeah.
People, you know, anyway. I'm angry about that. Not as angry as number three, I'll come to that in a minute. But number two for you, Roscoe.
There's another social media thing. I hate people when they check in.
Check it what? Like where?
Just where they're going. I'm here.
Costa Coffee.
Yeah. I hate the one thing I hate most is when they tag me in it. But we're going somewhere and they
go,
so
this is someone close to you. Is this Sasha? You taking
name
of
Sasha?
Sasha
doesn't do that. No.
Sasha wouldn't do that.
No.
She would not do that.
She would not do that. She's perfect. So people who tag you or tag themselves anywhere or innocuous locations.
Yeah,
like,
just that or just anywhere. It's
like, so say you're covering, I don't know, England football at Wembley.
Yeah.
That's quite a big Billy Big Balls thing to do.
Well, you know, I just do it afterwards, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
Or just tell people who are close to me.
Okay.
You know.
So
I wouldn't check in, oh, I'm at Wembley now. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, so you've got checking in, snow, I've got people who don't pick up dog poo, and I've got, what was my first one?
Cling film.
Hutchie's got bananas and pictures of roast dinner, and Stewie, you've got social media generally, I think it's probably more accurate for
you. Yeah, I could be here all day on social media.
And lateness. So your final thing you hate, Stewie?
I'll come back to me. I can't think of anything at the minute.
He's a man
Carry
with not enough hate. Hutchie?
Things that I hate. I don't hate very much.
Come on, you do.
I.
What really grinds your gears? Come on.
Oh, I've got one.
Yes.
People, personal space. People who invade your personal space unnecessarily. Well, there's... Ross just gave me a little stroke there. That's fine.
That was warranted.
You have to earn that, though. And Ross has earned that ability to invade my personal space. Public transport, when there's a whole load of seats available, when someone comes and sits next to you. Oh. You can go anywhere else. Go to a urinal. They're all available. Someone comes and does it next to you.
Very strange.
What are you doing?
That's odd behaviour.
That's very strange behaviour. A fellow journalist touched my head at a game last season, didn't he, Stu?
Mm.
I didn't like that.
What for?
I don't know.
Just ruffled your hair.
Affectionately, or?
It was meant to be. I didn't like it.
You didn't take it.
Retail, didn't you? Such.
Yeah.
So, Stu, when you say personal space, are you talking about people getting close to you to talk to you, or just generally...
those two examples that I've used.
Okay.
Among others.
Back to you, Hutchie. Haiti Hutchie.
Haiti Hutch. Number three.
Yes.
When people fail to follow the swim clockwise or anti-clockwise guidelines in a swimming pool and just go up and down as they please. There's a system for a reason.
Yeah.
Swimming all in the same direction in a little mini circle in the lane means that as many people as possible can have a good swim, get their lengths in. If you swim up and down, just up and down like a ferry going up and down your lane, that's it. You're taking that area of the pool to yourself.
There's a lot of etiquette in that, isn't
ridiculous.
It?
Ridiculous.
They probably didn't indicate on their way to the swimming pool as well.
No, they probably didn't.
Right, my third and final thing that I hate, and this is quite a big one, is people.
Oh.
I generally have a thing about not really liking people as a whole. I like persons. I like all of you persons in here. People as a whole, bunch of twats. Vote for Trump, vote for Brexit, all that sort of stuff. Drop bombs on each other. Bell ends. More specifically within that, smug parents I hate. Now, I'm not including you in this. You're two very good parents. But parents who feel the need to tell me immediately what little Billy is doing at school. Do I want to see a picture of little Billy and his shit painting that he's done? No, I do not. Incredibly average.
This feeds back into the start of our show every week where you say, what have we been up to? And Andy and I, without fail, will say, not much. Because we are aware that it's not of interest to people, and just have a filter of what is interesting to us is not interesting to everyone else. And this is what I say about social media. Just think, stop and think.
We have a few offenders in our office when I come to smug parents, one particular.
Who?
Yeah, I think we all know who.
Okay.
Talks at very loud volume about children and what they've been up to. And
okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And
like
I find
skiing.
Yeah, I find it incredibly annoying, unreasonably annoying. And also, among the parent thing, is parents who assume that because they've got kids, that makes them more important somehow than anyone else. Therefore, they should have first choice of holidays. They definitely shouldn't have to work at Christmas because I've got kids. So I haven't got kids, so obviously I love working at Christmas. That kind of thing. Not pointing the finger at you. You two are excellent parents. But generally speaking, I think we all know what I'm talking about, do we not?
Yes.
Excellent. Roscoe, your third and final hatred thing, please.
When people play music...
Music?
Because I love music, but it's been happening a lot recently on the bus where people just playing music just out loud, not putting my headphones in or anything.
Yeah.
Your headphones in.
Yeah. Earphones are very affordable.
Yeah.
I feel like we've struck a rich vein here. I think Stu could do a
I was
hole.
About... honestly, there was a guy at Southend who...
Oh, my word.
After the game, we were on deadline. We're typing away. You're dictating up quotes. Put your headphones in. This guy was just playing it out. And when you dictate something, you play a few seconds of it. You rewind. You play it again. You rewind. You play it again. He was doing this out loud in a very tight environment. So he was invading my personal space and orally... He was invading my personal space as well.
That whole setup at Southend invaded my personal space. It invaded my Sunday as well because I was in pieces. I don't know about what were you like on Sunday after that?
Yeah, I was in bits.
Awful.
It looked pretty bad, boys.
Oh,
I've got to say.
Horrible.
You basically look like you're in a tiny glorified greenhouse.
Does this happen on the bus quite a lot, Ross?
Yeah, it's always the same guys work because I normally get the similar bus time and he comes on and he just. Oh no!
His phone, throw it out the window.
Honestly, do it.
I take this from you every day.
What is he saying? Is he saying, I've got a really cool choice of music and everyone's going to really be impressed?
He goes right at the back as well. He goes right at the back, so he's like, oh, yeah, I'm cool.
That also feeds into another one of mine. People, you're out for a meal, and people usually on the table next to you or near you, they talk incredibly loudly. Mm. And it's like the arrogance that I can't hear my own conversation, but I'm being forced to listen
to
yours.
But I have to hear what Carol did on Thursday night.
Yeah. I've had chucking some skis in the range and going skiing, usually. That makes me very angry. Boys, I think we could do a whole thing on this.
We really could.
We've been doing this for 15 minutes, and
we've done more angry chat than football chat.
I've got to be honest, I've got loads more still.
Yeah. Well,
should we do a sounding off segment every week?
Vexing. Good, I enjoyed that. It's one of the best Mark's Big questions ever. Excellent work, Ross, by picking said question.
And finally, Kings of Anglia 96. Probably, I think, the one we've had the most feedback from, positive, saying it was the best show we've done. There were two things which are going to make the highlights on this. First of all, we went to Crown Court. This is the day when I presided over the very first Kings of Anglia High Courts of Justice, and we had two Queen's Counsels with us, Hutch Hogan QC and Dr. Stuart Watson QC. And there was a lot of legal argument going on between the two. We had some surprise guests, ex-town managers turned up. And the argument basically was, is your cup, your town cup, half empty or half full? Again, if we had this chat, it may be quite different now. But boys, this is one of the most entertaining things we've done this year. Certainly from my seat, I loved it. Stu had done absolutely zero preparation, as is his wont.
I have regrets over that. I wish if we did this again, I would get into character a bit more. I'd be addressing ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I'd be embellishing things a little bit more next time around.
Court's an act. You got to bring your best act. And I feel like I did my client proud that day.
You did indeed. This is something we may well be returning to. You may well hear the Kings of Anglia High Court back in session in 2020. But here is the first historic face-off between two titans of barrister work. QC Hutch Hogan, QC Dr. Watson. Here they are, going at it for the first time. Something a bit different. Obviously, the chat amongst Ipswich Town fans at the moment is very much glass half full, glass half empty. Now, I thought, rather than just have a little general chat, I thought we'd go into the High Court, Kings of Anglia, presiding, yours truly, Lord Chief Justice Mark Heath. Like it. This is very serious. This, if you don't know, is the theme tune to Judge Rinder, so shit's about to get real. I was once invited on Judge Rinder. Have I ever told that story?
No.
They wanted to get Benson on. They contacted me through Instagram and said, can you bring your dog on the show? Judge Rinder has a bulldog. But they wanted me to basically make up a story that Benson had damaged someone's property. So,
is that how they're operating
this
TV?
That's a little insight into how Judge Rinder works.
Ruin the magic.
Mm. Yeah, so when you thought it was serious stuff.
Like Caden Jackson smashing up a wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows if that was true?
Who knows?
It probably wasn't.
So why on earth did they just randomly contact you?
I guess because Benson is a bit of a celeb dog.
Okay.
There's a link there with Judge Rinder and Bulldogs. And they wanted to put us up in a posh hotel. All it takes is just basically lying.
And you said no because you're too
principled.
You could not have Benson being shown in that light.
His name besmirched.
Exactly. Benson is very well behaved. He's a very good boy. Anyway, I've got off the track. We are sitting here. It looks like a podcast studio, but it's actually the High Courts of Justice, Kings of Anglia style. We've got two experienced barristers who are about to prosecute and defend the case for and against. Prosecuting barrister, Dr. Stuart Watson QC, will be prosecuting that the glass is half empty. And across the table, looking him deep in the eyes and giving a steely, mean mug.
There's no table.
No wigs either, which is disappointing. I thought you might bring wigs. Anyway, Hutch Hogan QC will be defending and saying the glass is indeed half full. Gentlemen, as is tradition, indeed actually the rule in court, the prosecution will start. Dr. Watson, have you an opening statement?
My opening statement is thus. I'm worried that Ipswich Town might mess this up. My heart says everything's going to be fine, but the evidence suggests otherwise.
Is that your opening statement?
That is my opening statement.
I should just point out at this point that obviously this is a bit of fun, not necessarily the views of either of the two Queen's councils involved. Just like barristers, they'll do anything for money. So there you go. So Stu, whatever Stu says and whatever Andy says might not actually be what they think. But just remind it's a little bit of fun. Anyway, Hutch Hogan, QC, your opening statement, please.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lord Justice Heath.
Yes.
The case for a glass half full is a simple one. It focuses on the future rather than the past. It gives credit for what has come before in difficult circumstances, yet acknowledges the opportunity lying ahead. It is grounded in clear, concise, common sense and testimony from a star, reliable witness. And it is a case, once heard, that will prove beyond reasonable doubt that Ipswich Town are drinking from a half-full cup.
Outstanding. You can tell someone's done some homework.
Yeah.
As a QC student, I'm a bit disappointed you haven't done more preparation.
Yeah, I'm woefully underprepared for this. It was something that was muted in the group chat last night.
Yeah.
And I'm very much in a wing it situation here. So,
and we all know how much you enjoy wing it situations. Mm. Okay, so the opening statements are done. Stuart Watson, as prosecution, you now proceed. What other evidence would you like to bring to the table?
I would like to start with goals and mm-hmm. lack of.
Yep.
Goals from midfield not happening. Goals from centre-backs and defence not happening. Strikers not firing at the moment. Norwood, fitness problems. Keane, is he going to stay fit? Sears, how long before he gets up to speed? They were winning games 1-0 earlier in the season. There was always going to be a point that if you're not scoring goals, that was going to catch up with them. And that's where I think we're at.
But I'd point you straight to some statistics. They're second in the league. Let's not forget that. They're second in the table. Two losses in the league all season. 4 points off the top with the game in hand. Four clear of third with the game in hand. Only Leicester and Leeds have conceded less goals. Is that right? That's your stat. I read that in your... Is that correct?
I hope so.
He's nodding.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's not grumble at that. We'd have taken this, wouldn't we? We'd have snapped this off back in July, June, May, April. When we knew full well this was going to be the scenario.
That's compelling.
Don't look at the past. This is where Ipswich are now. Look at the opportunities for the future.
I would argue now, and I would call Paul Lambert to the stand at
yes,
this stage.
A witness.
And Paul Lambert would say, there's no medals handed out.
He wouldn't say it like that, would he?
Nay medals.
Yes.
Yuffie head.
What?
You're off your head.
Excellent.
I'm not looking to the past, I'm looking to the future. I'm sitting here right now and saying they've done well to get to this point, but I'm looking ahead to the next few months and I'm concerned that this might not continue. And the medals are handed out in May,
not
now.
Is that what Paul Lambert would say?
That's what Paul Lambert
would
say.
He wouldn't be saying he's concerned, but he'd be saying it doesn't matter what's happened between August and December, it's what happens in the next 6 months. And that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay,
has there been enough evidence so far to say that they can do this again?
I think the evidence lies ahead. I think you just have to look at the Coventry game. Who was missing? Captain, missing. Most reliable midfielder, missing. Your X-factor right back, missing. Leading strike duo, missing. Still drew with a promotion rival who themselves have only lost two all season.
Draw. Draw is the word that jumps off the page there.
We're talking about the future here. I object to it. I object to your negativity. Your
objection.
You still drew, you said, and that's what they're doing.
But
too much.
I've listed what's to come back. I've listed it.
Okay.
It's there. The future is in front of us. We can see it. It's beautiful.
One win in eight. Not beaten a team in the current top eight of the division.
Only lost to one of them as well. Are Rotherham in the top eight?
Sunderland didn't lose many games last year, but they drew a hell of a lot. 1-1 was their scoreline of choice, and they faltered at the death as well.
This is tense.
Sunderland had more points than Ipswich on the board at this stage of last season.
I'm not bothered about it. Honestly, not bothered
had more
about
points
history.
On the board than Ipswich do at this stage last season.
I'm not bothered about the past. You can chuck all your stats at me. I'm feeling vibe. I'm feeling what's to come. And I've got a witness to call. Can I call Freddie Sears to the stand,
yes,
please?
You can.
he couldn't actually be here. He sent in a statement. Is that okay?
Read the statement, please, QC.
Firstly, I'd like to apologise for not being able to attend court in person today. I'm busy training for my impending glorious return.
Yes.
I'm feeling fit and strong. If it was up to me, I think I could have been back on the field a week or two ago. When I do return, I'll bring an attribute currently unavailable to the gaffer. Direct, driving runs off the flank. I'll attack from wide areas, get close to the striker, and could even facilitate a front three, a proper front three. You saw a bit of that at Coventry. Now imagine what it could look like with me driving inside and getting shots off. I'd have reached that ball from Gwion Edwards. Did you see my goal at Villa last season? Fancy a bit more of that? A bit more of that spice? I know I do. Isn't just me either. James Norwood's been hampered by injuries of late, and given a little more time, he'll be back to his early season form. He brings the best out of Caden as well. The three of us in the same team? Yes, please. Teddy Bishop isn't far away either. He brings a new dimension to midfield. He can dribble and break the lines. Yes, please. You want some? He'll give it you. I gather my mate Jack Lancaster may just play again this season. And then there's Kane Vincent Young to come
Objection.
Back.
Objection.
Yes?
Can't just be throwing out may play again this season. Mays, ifs, buts. Let's stick to the facts, please.
Kane Vincent Young's to come back. I like that. Don't sleep on the January transfer window either. It's time for the owner to flex his muscles. I've seen him in the training ground, Jim. He looks like Daniel Craig and and Judge Rinder. I don't have time to be cross-examined. I'm playing golf.
I was going to say, because obviously the prosecution would have the chance to cross-examine
the
witness.
He's on the golf course.
Well, I'm afraid it's a legal proceeding. Right, you can't just leave.
All right, okay. Ask him some questions.
Dr. Stuart Watson, do you wish to cross-examine the witness?
I'll speak for Freddie.
Freddie, how long realistically before you are back to your best?
I think I could have been back on the pitch 2 weeks ago, Stu.
You think you could do
I'm going to play in the cup at Exeter.
So you're immediately going to be in top form in your first game back, are you?
Might take a week or two, but there are others as well. But I'm back. I'm coming back. Okay. Don't you worry about me.
The goals have been a little bit dry in the team at the moment.
I was top scorer last season.
Top with how many?
Top scorer. So
did you go about 46 games without a goal at one stage recently?
That's negative. Yes.
Okay. No further questions.
Oh, prosecution rests there. Are there any further witnesses? I know the.
I'll call a witness.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna. You had a key witness. You were thinking
got
about
a key
calling.
Witness here.
Yeah.
This man's got a bit of time on his hands because he has a big gap between games. I call Mick McCarthy to the stand.
No one saw this. This in the courtroom drama. Now everyone would be hushed. This would be like. As Mick McCarthy walks in, sits
the
down.
The door creaks.
In he walks. Mr. McCarthy, if you'd like to make your way into the witness box.
Does he have to put his hand on the Bible?
Well, he's sworn his oath.
You get the option. He's sworn in anyway. He's got some water in front of him. Dr. Stuart Watson, your witness.
Oh, you're all fucking happy with 1-0 now, are you?
Is that it?
And then he would probably slam his hand on the desk and say,
leave.
Oh, call Scoos in front of a back five. That's fine now, is it? Are you entertained?
I am, actually.
Can I
defence your witness?
Are you open for cross-examination?
Yeah,
what is it to do with you, quite frankly, Mick? What are you doing here? What relevance have you got to this? We're looking at the past again, aren't we?
He's gone. He's already slammed his hand on
he's
the desk.
To take the Arsenal
job. He's walked out,
yeah. Okay. Any further witnesses going to be called? Because
no
obviously we've
witnesses.
Got closing statements at some point.
I've no more witnesses. I've just got a few little things I'd like to chuck out.
Okay, go.
Just why everything's... You know, these aren't the reasons why they're going to get promoted, but it's reasons that might top your glass up to half full status that little bit more. Still in two cups. Attendance is up. Atmosphere's back. Best kit in years. Home on Boxing Day this year. The Cobbold Stand's been painted and there's a new fence at the training ground. Get on board. Your cup's half full. Job done.
Was that your closing statement?
No, I've got more.
Excellent. Prosecution, would you like to offer any more evidence? Would you like to proceed to closing statement?
I can proceed to closing statement if you like.
The floor is yours.
Okay. I'm just going to throw a few bullet points at you, like you've just given to me. Not beating teams in the top half of the table. Not scoring enough goals. Shots on target over the last few games. 1-2-0-1. Not creating enough, and then when they do, they're not taking the goals. They've struggled when key men have been out injured. The squad rotation and the calling off of games due to international breaks has severely hampered momentum. It's severely hampered team chemistry. It will catch up on Ipswich in the end. That's why my glass is half full.
prosecution rests. The prosecution rests. And the defence, as is tradition, has the final say. Closing statement, please, Hutch Hogan QC.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lord Justice Heath, producer Ross. I presented to you a solid start to the season, a supporting cast waiting to return, flashes of quality and a myriad of factors which combine to project a bright future. Witness statements have supported this with vigour and passion. We've had years of apathy and negativity. It's time to turn away from the darkness and look towards the light. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, lift up your cups, knock back your drink and fill that cup up again. It will forever be half full. Keep it flowing. I rest my case.
There we go. The choice, of course, now goes to the jury as to who will win this case. And you, my friends, are the jury. At some point today, we'll put out a poll as to which side of the argument you're most compelled by. And that will be the official ruling of the jury. We'll decide which QC gets his bonus for this case. Gentlemen, court is now over. That was fun, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. It was good.
I think I might have to become a QC. I really enjoyed that too much.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, back in the day, I assume you were a news reporter, so you've been in... You've been in Crown Court.
I've been in court.
I will say that among the best performers on earth are QC barristers. I mean, obviously the dog's bollocks, the QCs. They are brilliant performers.
Especially when you know that at least one of them doesn't believe what they're trying to tell you.
Exactly. I enjoyed that. Stu, I thought for someone who literally was winging it there, you showed, as all top QCs do, an incredible ability to be persuasive and call up facts.
Yeah.
And a bit of flamboyance as well.
Yeah, I probably didn't adhere to court procedure as well and etiquette as my colleague here to the right.
You lack experience, but there's always time for a newcomer.
I was very much surprised as well to see Mick McCarthy make an appearance.
Yeah, well,
I didn't see that happening.
I'm not sure what he added to it, if I'm honest.
No.
His character witness.
But it was nice to see him anyway.
Yeah.
It was. Give him something to do. And finally, also on this very pod, KOA 96 will go down in history. Because the strike, which had obviously already taken over the world by this point, had a very special guest at the end of this particular show. We'd already had the courtroom drama. We'd had Stu and Andy going at it in the courtroom.
Stop saying that.
And this, we'd done the strike. It went pretty well. And then at the end, we'd been saying for weeks it needed an outro. And at the end, Ross, you pressed the button and revealed a very special guest. You don't need to play it now. That's literally the clip we're about to play. But talk us through it. You went to some lengths to get hold of this special guest.
Just messaged him on Instagram. It took him about 4 attempts to send it. So he first tried to send it on Instagram. Didn't work. Then he emailed me. Didn't work. And then I think he then tried to do it another way. Didn't work. And then he just basically said, "What's your number?" And then sent it on WhatsApp. And then there you go.
History was made, and I'm so pleased you didn't let us know that it was happening, because I think our reaction to it is pure and natural, and we're all elated. Hutch, you look elated at the moment.
Yes.
Were you elated when...
Absolutely, shocked.
We all high-fived and hollered, I believe is the term. So here we go, second strike of the highlights, but the one with a very, very special guest at the end of the outro. Enjoy. Have we got the outro?
I have an outro.
Yes.
I hope you're going to enjoy this. It links up from Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
So,
Posh, yeah.
I'm bringing the strike song down. And over to you, mate.
Hi, guys. Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh.
With Spice. That's amazing.
Let me give you a high five for that. That, my friend... is why you're the greatest producer on planet Earth. As if
have
you just
level.
Needed us to
have
say
a level.
That it was the greatest. It was the greatest game show. Now, the penalty hero,
that's him, mate.
The boy wonder, Barry Cotter, is telling you that Strike is indeed the best game show on planet Earth. That is tremendous, Ross.
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Do it again.
One more time.
Hi guys, Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Amazing. Is he coming to the live pod? Is he going to do the outro of the live pod?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, we should get him. Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Wow. That was tremendous. That's one of my favourite things ever. Okay, that's it. Looking back at the year so far, and indeed up to this point, there's not going to be any more. boys, it's been a good year. We've gone from recording the podcast in an office, in a room at Archant, to having our very own radio studio, The Bunker. We've put on a live podcast show, which people paid actual money to come and see. Unbelievable. And we've had good times with the KOA Army. How would you reflect, just to finish the show, on the podcast this year?
I think the natural progression is world domination now, yeah. I would suggest.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
We've made strides.
Yeah.
Everything starts somewhere. It's just time. It's time to go global.
It's time to take over. Stewie Watson, similar aims?
No, I would say take each pod as it comes. I'd say you win nothing in December. Always room for improvement. It's a start.
When do you win stuff in the podcast world?
In the podcast game?
award season.
Yeah.
Are we going to win an in-house award this year?
What, one of the Archies?
Yeah, the old Archies.
Well, we clearly snubbed last year, so I'd imagine not. Even though this is clearly some of the best content.
Norwich bias,
there.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
We're just not appreciated in our own company. It's ridiculous.
In our time.
Shadowy Archant figures, pull your finger out, recognise greatness.
Roscoe, the final word of 2019, fittingly, goes to you. What have you made of this year? You've come on board, producer Ross. You've become an icon. You've created an iconic game. You are now, potentially, the breakout star of 2020.
Cult hero, definitely.
Yeah.
But you still haven't passed your driving test.
Is that going to happen in 2020?
That is. It's going to happen.
Because you get a grand, you know, when you pass it. It's free money.
That'll be a special, a podcast special. Ooh. When I actually pass. It will be a celebration.
If only we could live stream the test, it'd be tremendous.
It really would. Amazing.
Roscoe, give us a word for this year.
Good.
Excellent.
What about Ipswich?
Ipswich.
Excellent. That's a fitting way to end this best of pod. We hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks again for listening. And we hope you're having a great Christmas. And we'll speak to you all again in the new year.
Play the Archant ad.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.